Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction, again, to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics.
Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. It is said that there's a race problem. It's said that this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are as crowded as Japan or Taiwan, but no one says Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and, quote, assimilating, unquote, with them. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, intermarry with all these non-whites. What if I were to say there is a race problem, and this race problem will be solved only if hundreds and millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries? How long would it take anyone to realize I'm not talking about a race problem? I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem. And how long would it take for any sane black man to notice this? And what type of psycho black man wouldn't object to this? But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I'm a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they are anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. What they are calling for is genocide. I began this... the number 24, the 24th MP3 in the first series on practical politics, talking about the mantra, because what the mantra does, it goes to the heart of the issue, loyalty. I've introduced you to a simple game, me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit. I have a single issue, loyalty. And the problem we have is with rabbits that look like us but have no loyalty to us. I call them pink rabbits. And the question we're invoking is an iron question. It's an immovable question because it will never go away for white rabbits. And I'm going to go into this in a few minutes, but the question is simply, are you pro-white or are you pro-white genocide? Are you pro-European or are you pro-European genocide? There is no in-between. There has never been an in-between for white rabbits. No, the indigenous white rabbits of Europe have been defined and refined by this question over thousands and thousands of years. Right now, all the white rabbits listening to me had an ancestor that made a conscious choice to be pro-white, whether it be coming out of India or coming out of the Middle East, so on and so forth. They chose to be pro-white. There were others, some of our ancestors chose to be pro-white genocide. And you see all these mixed populations around. A lot of times when you go to get a genetic test, they'll tell you, well, this group, you're related to this group in Africa. Well, it's most likely that African group, what they're finding out now, had a white ancestor that chose pro-white genocide because at one time we were all over the place, kind of like we are now. But that's what you really have to understand, and it is important to point out time and time again. I mix it up all the time when they talk about equality. Everyone says there's a problem with equality. Everyone says this equality problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. You can mix it around time and time again because it's a clear and consistent targeting. They're targeting only white rabbits. I was, one day I saw this someone that had labeled him a white separatist on TV, and he looked like a very bright man. But he didn't point out the obvious. He should, as soon as they called him a white separatist, what I will do and what most of my listeners know to do is say, in your opinion, I'm a white separatist. You're just saying that because I'm white. White separatism, neo-Nazism, Ku Klux Klansman is something you label anyone white who has an opinion. No one's flooding China with non-Chinese and saying, you know what, if you oppose this, you're a Chinese separatist. No one's opposing no one's flooding Africa with non-Africans and saying, you know what, if you oppose this, you're an African separatist. No one's flooding Mexico with non-Mexicans and saying, you know what, if you oppose this, you're a Mexican separatist. Only white countries are doing this. Only white leaders are supporting this. Only white children are affected by this. It's genocide. You have to do that time and time again. Repetition is what counts. But it always goes toward the iron question. You're putting them on the spot. You're putting it right in the forefront of their mind. We internalize, for some reason, two questions. Is life worth living? And what is true here? We're always coming back. This is our internal dialogue. It will not change. The problem, the challenge with this paradox is you have a rabbit. This rabbit can breed with other rabbits. This rabbit questions its own existence. If a rabbit questions its own existence, it's not a rabbit anymore. You know, so we have this paradox. We have these little rabbit bodies, but we're not rabbits. You know, if a deer questions its existence, it's no longer an animal. If a deer makes progress, it's no longer an animal. Animals aren't supposed to make progress. Animals aren't supposed to question their existence. You know, most rabbits walk around, they drop rabbit pellets, they have rabbit babies, they don't make any progress, and they don't want to. So we have this radical different little rabbit, and that's us. And there is a paradox. You know, we're the animal that questions its existence. Well, there's a paradox there because animals aren't supposed to do that. We're an animal that makes progress. Well, there's a paradox there. Animals aren't supposed to make any progress. So there's a weird paradox. And in my next series, I'm going to go into these paradoxes. But they're nonetheless true. They're absolutely true. And they're essential for us to understand. But we must consciously choose to be pro-white over pro-white genocide. We question our existence. Yes, we do. No other rabbit on this planet questions his existence. Right now, I would invite you to go to Stormfront. You will see little white rabbits arguing that they're a social construct, and you will see little white rabbits saying, in your opinion, I'm a social construct. You're just saying it because I'm white, so on and so forth, etc. Right? You won't see that in China. You won't see little Japanese rabbits saying, we're just a social construct. You won't see that. That's how real race is. We question our existence, so there must always be a positive feedback mechanism in place. And that's kind of where media control comes in. But when it comes to why we do this, I don't know. In the next series of White Rabbit Psychology and Ecology, we're going to go into, I have my finger on the direction of where why is going to end up being, you know, the why, where it's going with the why. We'll go in that in the next series, but I don't know why your neighbors think they're racist or why our ancestors thought they were evil sinners going to burn in hell. There are many paradoxes to the white rabbit. We are the fantasy rabbit. At the same time, there's a good dose of skepticism. They're not necessarily superstitious. You have a ghost in a house, well, we'll go hunt it. Most rabbits will run away. There are some paradoxes here. There are paradoxes, there are contradictions that are nonetheless true. You know, the difference between our fantasies and most others, we make them come true. But a consistent message developed for white rabbits that goes to the heart of the matter, loyalty, that invokes the iron question, are you pro-white or are you pro-white genocide, is very important this time. Because the choices you make now will count for forever. Yeah, they do. There is no forgiveness over this type of choice. You know, those little mixed rabbits in North Africa that may have ancestors related to us, they can't choose to be pro-white now. Well, I guess they could stay in their own countries and mind their own business, but they're never going to be able to come back. So once you choose pro-white genocide, it is a permanent choice. No one's going to say, I forgive you, you can come back and be a white rabbit again. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. It's just one. If we were to go into consolidation, it ain't going to be a mulatto rabbit consolidation. They're not going to be there. Yeah, they're not going to let them in. That's not how it works. You know, our enemy, I always say our enemy looks like us and has no loyalty to us. In reality, there are three branches of this enemy, and I call them all pink rabbits. We have a luxury now that we're only 10% of the population. And we don't really have to divide up our enemy or figure them out too much. They just look like us and they have no loyalty to us. But there are three branches. There's the pink rabbits, the traditional pink rabbits like Abe Foxy Foxman at the ADL, and they're the Jew rabbits. And they are generally pro-white genocide. They hate us for some intense reason, and they're always skewing things against us. There's another group I label Lone Rangers, and they gotta always have their tontos, and they come across as a self-hating white baby boomers. There's a third group called the Pink Jackrabbits. The difference between the self-hating white baby boomers and the Pink Jackrabbits and the Pink Rabbits, A. Foxy Foxman is very conflict-oriented. The Pink Jackrabbits, for some reason, are not conflict-oriented. They avoid conflict, but you can flush out each and every one of them with the mantra, and which leads to the iron question. I was reminded watching TV, watching all these World War II channels on World War II shows on the Hitler Channel, History Channel is now the Hitler Channel. I saw Winston Churchill, and I heard him saying, "Evil Nazi hatred, evil Nazi hatred, the Nazis are going to take over the world." And I was having flashbacks because a few minutes before I watched, I believe it was Charles Krauthammer on Fox News, and he was saying, Islamo-fascist Nazis are going to take over the world, and they hate us. We've heard this time and time again. You know, people that yell hate are usually the biggest haters. And I'm often reminded of that when I've been asked about the Pink Jackrabbits, I don't know enough about their history. Are they related? You know, pink rabbits say that they have this maternal link, and some of them do. A certain percentage of them are converts, and a certain percentage of them may have that maternal link among the Jew rabbits. The link between the pink jackrabbits will not be that. It'll be something, I'm just speculating. It'll be a patriarchal link. It'll be a similar father in ancient Babylon or something. It'll be something along those lines. We don't have to split them up, because once it comes down to the iron question, for some reason, the Lone Rangers will try to engage you, and you can keep breaking them down, like I've shown you how to do. The other ones will flee. The Pink Jackrabbits will flee. There's something seriously wrong with them. But we do have an issue here of loyalty, right? And that's the challenge, is we have the whole top of the planet, but we don't have a home. No one wants us. So this is interesting. At the same time, in a good position, because we don't have to worry about things we don't know. I can put them all in one group, pink rabbits. And, I've been asked about guys like Glenn Beck. And my opinion on Glenn Beck, one of the reasons I got so excited when Bob was on Fox News is he was asking the iron question. He went on the mantra. And, of course, they dropped the camera, and that's the only time he's been on there. But I was really excited because I want to hear what Glenn Beck does. Is Glenn Beck just a Lone Ranger, or is he a Pink Jackrabbit? Is there something about him we don't know? You know, Glenn Beck's on TV and he's always preaching about communism, 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 everyday communism, communism. Well, the environmentalists, the whole top of the environmental structure these days is second generation communism. As soon as the Berlin Wall came down, as soon as Soviet communism wrapped up, they were no longer commies. They became, they went into stoplight politics. They became environmentalists. But it's another ism, and you can always embed an ism with the same old ism. But they're second generation communists. They want the blended humanity, and some type of new serfdom, some type of new system based on scarcity. What's scarce? Oh, air. Yeah, air is scarce. You know, it's the same stuff. A few hundred years ago, their ancestors were taxing the Irish, measuring the Irish windows, and taxing the little Irish people for little Irish rabbits for air. Seriously, they were measuring windows and taxing for air. Now they want to do it with carbon credits, and they want to create a new system based on scarcity. But Glenn Beck always talks about this, and it's true. There is truth to what he's saying. But I'm always leery about a Glenn Beck that doesn't touch race. That has all these black conservative audience members, and he's fawning over them and talking about how great Africans are, because I don't know what he's about until he faces the iron question. I don't know what Mr. Beck's about until he gets hit with a mantra, until he gets in front of a Bob Wood. I just don't know. You don't know. People that preach all my life, we've heard these guys in the Republican Party preach against communism, and the whole entire top structure, neocons, are nothing but communism. So he talks about the communists on the left, but he doesn't talk about any communists in his own tent. He doesn't talk about second-generation communism. He doesn't talk about this attempt at genocide. And so what is he about? On his book cover, he's wearing a communist officer's uniform. I don't know what he's about. But when someone yells, you know, when the Winston Churchills are yelling evil Nazi hatred, and then they turn around post-World War II in Anglosphere and try to wipe out the Anglos, you got to look out. When Glenn Beck is saying he's against the commies, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But he's sitting there with a communist uniform on. What is he really saying? You know, I don't know. I don't know what these guys are about. The good news is you don't have to choose. You hit them with a consistent message, and you put them to the question. You know, does he want his children to grow up in a European society? Is he pro-European or is he pro-European genocide? Is he pro-white or is he pro-white genocide? You know, in your opinion, I'm racist, Mr. Beck. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. It doesn't matter where they go with it. You can keep bringing it back. And I don't really know. You don't know what the O'Reillys and the Becks are about. I don't trust them, though. You see, we know about the Foxy Foxmans. Ooh, that's what you see is what you get. But the Pink Jackrabbits are all wide sky. And they are all second-generation communists. They cannot survive with us for some weird reason. I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. We don't have to be choosy. We don't have to choose between Pink Rabbits, Pink Jackrabbits, Pink Rabbits that are actually Lone Rangers that you move aside. You can move them all aside. Because the Pink Rabbits, the Foxy Foxmans, have been very isolated. They can't do anything. They can't do anything because it's been a clear and consistent targeting, and everyone's watching them. When everyone's watching you, it becomes difficult to move. You know, if you're a creature of the dark and the sunlight's on you, you've got problems. And then, of course, the Lone Rangers have a problem, too, because Tonto wants his own ethnic interests to support it. Tonto is consistently, and Lone Ranger, of course, for you know, is the old television series. And the old television series, you know, Lone Ranger is the big white cowboy and he has to have his little Indian sidekick. But Tonto, as soon as he's got enough numbers, he wants to elect an Obama. And so Lone Ranger has to come back and has to have ethnic interest, but he doesn't know how. And as my listeners of the show will understand, that true information won't mean anything to them. Their brain is fried. Then there's the Pink Jackrabbits. Pink Jackrabbits, for some reason, something's wrong with them. I don't know what. We don't have to differentiate. We have a consistent message that hits them with the iron question. I will tell you this much, though. It doesn't matter whether they're running your local pet store or they're running the local a giant animal charity for North America. It doesn't matter whether they're running the local hardware store or they're running some high-tech company out in Silicon Valley. They will always target it toward our genocide to asymmetrically attack us in some way, shape, manner, or form. It doesn't matter whether it's running your local Boy Scout or running at UNICEF. They will target it to attack us asymmetrically, racially. They do it time and time again. There is no. It could be at the local church. It could be at some giant church, Christian church. They will target it. They will be pro-white genocide against us. No matter how they go about it, it always goes toward our genocide. It doesn't matter whether they take over capitalism or communism or this nationalism or that nationalism. They will always target it toward our genocide. They will always be pro-white genocide. It's kind of like some of the Pink Rabbits, elements of them. You know, elements of them are benign. I'm not talking about your local rabbi who might not have any power, but if Abe Foxy Foxman wants to take over white nationalism, well, he's going to take it over and then twist it toward pro-white genocide by, you know, a Eurasian or you know, well, technically a white rabbit should accept Asian mixing and matching because that they're a high-cultured people. Well, that's irrelevant to the discussion. We can't survive if we don't have a home. You know, they're always trying to get some angle. They're always trying to get some bend on it, and it's very important to understand. And one of the last points, you know, I want to make in this series is that we will always face this question because we question our existence. If you ask on an eternal basis, if a white rabbit is continuously asking, is life worth living? Well, there's one of two conclusions. One, you could choose life is worth living. You can be pro-white, or you can choose a more destructive path, pro-white genocide. You can come up with the conclusion that maybe life isn't worth living. And that's a permanent conclusion. The fact that we ask the question, we are very, very unique. That's all we know. We are very, very unique. A tremendous amount of progress comes out of us. There are contradictions. These are paradoxes, contradictions that are nonetheless true. Animals don't ask questions. Animals don't question their existence. And animals sure as heck aren't supposed to make any progress, much less radical progress. Animals aren't supposed to be flying around in spaceships and sending out satellites. There's some contradictions here with the white rabbits, but they are nonetheless true. They are paradoxes. But we will always face this question. It doesn't matter if you're listening to me 50,000 years from now on some faraway planet and you're a white rabbit and you got some sexy blue alien tempting you. The iron question's in front of you. Are you pro-white or are you pro-white genocide? There's only two paths. One toward life and toward some creative and higher progress, or one toward destruction. Toward a lower existence. There is no in between for a white rabbit. We've never once stood still. There is no stationary for us. There is no status quo. We're either higher, up and out, or lower. You know, the white rabbits that stayed in North Africa and became speckly brown rabbits, they didn't go higher. They went lower. There's no in between for us. The white rabbits that went back into Europe and whatnot, well, we went higher, didn't we? There will be no in between as we cross into these, as we cross into 2012, as we go forward. You will either go higher with us, or you will go lower. You either take a creative path or a destructive path. There is no in between. It doesn't matter where you run to on this planet, you will face the question. It doesn't matter where you run to in the universe. A white rabbit will always face this question. It is fundamental to our evolution. It not only weeds out the weak, it actually solidifies the tribe time and time again between those that want to make creative progress, that want to be pro-white, against those that want to make destruction, that want to reap destruction, or be pro-white genocide. And there's nothing more destructive than taking an ancient species and trying to blend it out of existence. Nothing is more destructive. The only thing more destructive would, of course, be shooting them all in the head. Blending is wide sky destruction to most white rabbits because they don't realize how devastating it is. And in the next series, I'm going to go into white rabbit psychology and ecology. I'm going to go back into some stuff because even if we were to solve all the problems we face today, even if you wake up one morning, there are no pink rabbits. We have a total homeland that's homogenous. We will still face the iron question because we question our existence. We will always be fascinated with objective truth because that's fundamental to our nature. We cannot change our nature because race is real. Race is that real. And so it's important as you come into this that a consistent message, one of the great things about the consistent message that you're getting over and over again is that we are facilitating the asking of these questions in a way that is pro-white, in a way that makes you want to take a higher and more creative progress and not be destructive. Love your fur, rabbit. There's nothing wrong with what you are. You are just extremely unique, and that has to be acknowledged. The technology in front of your face acknowledges it every day. Other rabbits on this planet that want to live with you acknowledge it every day. But we do have an interesting feedback mechanism. And this feedback mechanism is always, I've been asked about the pink rabbits and what they do. Well, if you can control the media, you will immediately start twisting the media toward pro-white genocide because we do internalize a choice. We have to, for some reason, choose to be white rabbits. The black rabbits aren't faced with these challenges. No other rabbit on Earth is faced with these challenges. The Japanese don't really question it. They have no problems with being Japanese. We ask this question. We are consciously facing a conscious choice. And so if you twist the media, toward pro-white genocide, you're going to wreak some havoc in the short term. There's no doubt about it in the short to immediate term. You might even be able to destroy Anglosphere, but ultimately you'll just destroy yourself because typically you're going to destroy the place and they're going to get up and move. There's a certain percentage that are going to be nothing but pro-white. That's why we're still white. But they can't. They can't facilitate, the pink rabbits cannot facilitate what's there, they can't invent something and stoke it that's not there already. You know, so when you talk about white self-hatred and whatnot, they certainly are facilitators. They certainly program everything, just like the Lone Rangers, just like the self-hating white baby boomer who tells you, go date the Chinese girl and so on and so forth, or adopting the Chinese baby or adopting the black babies. They're facilitating pro-white genocide, but there has to be something internal there already for that to be facilitated. And we're going to go into this in the next series as well, because these questions are extremely important for you to understand. But always point out the obvious. Always take a time to stand up for yourself. Never let someone push you around. You now have a complete set of talking points that are very simple. Give you something to say. And that's what practical politics is about. It's about what to say and when to say it and how to say it. And it's not rocket science. It's just a matter of repetition. And by trying to corner you, you've in fact cornered them. And you get to ask them the iron question. Are you pro-white or are you pro-white genocide? We ask it in a very unique way because race is real. All this stuff is written specifically for white rabbits because race is that real. We cannot escape what we are, and we cannot escape the question. We never will. I think it's important to understand from the top, if you were to be at a company and you could sit and analyze a media company and analyze everything coming down the pipeline from, let's say, some creative position, chief operating officer, and sit and ask the question, is this pro-white or pro-white genocide? Well, all our enemy does is sit there and says, well, forget all the pro-white stuff. Let's kick out all the stuff that's toward pro-white genocide. You know, the pink rabbits are destructive, so they're channeling everything down that destructive avenue. That's their nature. We do the direct opposite. So I would sit there and I would weed out everything I think is pro-white. It isn't pro-white, because why should white rabbits have a media that's pro-white rabbit genocide? It doesn't make any sense to me. Why should a company like Walt Disney, which is the largest media company in the world, founded by white rabbits, founded by the ultimate white rabbit, Walt Disney, with some beautiful, beautiful franchise with a great history and a great legacy, be kicking out the trash they're kicking out? Well, they're pro-white genocide. Pink rabbits, that is their nature. Believe it or not, they're pro-genocide every rabbit. If you take a pink rabbit, and if a pink rabbit's in Africa representing his people, it'll be pro-black genocide. Pro-black rabbit genocide. You better believe it. They want to blend at humanity. But the big key, they thought, was, white rabbits. And maybe we're that special. Obviously, they're targeting us way more. But they've made choices, and those choices now have consequences. But that is what a consistent message is, and that's how we go about it. And the iron question is simply a question that is unmovable. It will continuously shape us. It will continuously refine us. It will decide whether or not you are with us. It's that simple. There is no wiggle room for a white rabbit. Nature won't allow it. Nature will never allow that. You must always consciously choose. We've been gifted with this capacity for objective truth, and we've been gifted with a question of questioning our existence. You know, if you question your existence, it implies that life may not be worth living, and that weeds things out. And right now, all the white rabbits listening to me are gifted with ancestors that were pro-white, that consciously chose, and we've always had to choose. We've always, no one's ever made it easy on us. The difference is, post 1685, we've dominated the planet because we dominated scarcity. If you look at the British Navy, the British Navy that dominated the high seas for however many years, in fact, elements of that gene pool still dominate the oceans today vis-a-vis the United States Navy, right? It's the same gene pool, basically. We've been dominating the water. You cannot run something like that unless you dominate scarcity, because there's a great deal of long-term planning. It's very difficult to send ships across the sea. It's very difficult to do that unless you're very good at overcoming scarcity. But these are some of our gifts, and I've opened you up to how unique we are, or at least I hope I have, and why this message is so important, and why this attempted genocide against us has cost the world a lot. You know, they could have very easily in 1965 said, you know what, we're going to put the little African rabbits in their own home, and we can fly around the world overnight, so we need to create the Singapores and Dubais. We got all this land, you know, Miami, New York, London, Paris, and they could have created those districts, and most of the white rabbits would say, well, you know, we're very cooperative when it comes to that. Yeah, we're too cooperative. They could have done that, but they didn't do that. They went for the jugular after World War II. They went toward white rabbit genocide for some particular reason, but that's just their nature. It will always be their nature. So I've introduced you to a simple game, me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit. It's a game I've always played. We have a single issue, loyalty. And we have a huge number of rabbits that look like us that have no loyalty to us. They are our enemies. They are pink rabbits. We don't have to worry about who or what they are. It doesn't matter whether it's socialism, capitalism, communism, environmentalism, Judaism, Protestantism. If they look like us and they have no loyalty to us, they're out of power. That's our motivation. That's our goal, to make sure we have our ethnic interests represented. We have only one question. We have a single question. Are you pro-white or are you pro-white genocide? Which will you choose? And you must choose. No one can choose for you. No. And no one can hold you back from your choice. Yeah, every white rabbit faces the same choice. It's total equality under nature, if there ever is such a thing, that we all face an equal choice. It doesn't matter where you're at in this planet. Doesn't matter whether you're Italian or Nordic, you all have faced the same choice. It doesn't matter if I'm rich. If I'm rich, I can't buy someone to choose for me. It doesn't matter if I'm poor, I still get a choice. It's the divine right of choices. It's total equality among white rabbits. We must choose to go forward or backwards or lower, higher or lower. There is no in-between for us because we're never standing still. And in this final MP3, I wanted to finish it off, and we're going to talk about some fascinating event. I've told you about this over and over again in a variety of different ways, about the ending of World War II and how this has never once been reconciled. Over the past year, we have seen official channels, Times Online London, and all these official channels break wide open that it didn't end how we thought it ended, that Hitler didn't die, so on and so forth. We've always heard this, but now it's coming down official channels. The first official channel that this started becoming loud and clear came in 1985 when Shark Hunters International, the official U-boat historical agents group society actually, attached to the actual Bootwaffe or the U-boat museum in Germany, and they are authorities. Harry Cooper, the president, is authority on World War II submarine warfare. They are located in Florida. And he had put out a book, I don't know how long, far back, called Escape from the Bunkers. And they've released all kinds of fact. That has become an official channel. If you go to their website, sharkhunters.com, you'll see Ronnie Reagan on the front cover. He was president when they got going. But it came to my attention early last year that he was doing a television special. And we've seen over the past year, we've seen all kinds of different contradicting information. The noise is loud. On one end, you watch an old television channel that says same old, and then on the other end, you watch some new channel that does some interesting things, like the National Geographic channel on Hitler stealth fighters. They allude to some interesting facts. We've talked about this. We've seen, some talking about that there wasn't a Fourth Reich. Then you have a Mystery Quest channel that says not only was there a Fourth Reich, but they escaped Argentina. They allude to all kinds of facts. But on January 6th, we have an announcement to make. It'll be the first time since World War II that the actual historians, the ones have kicked out the actual facts. They're going to be the facts known in all history books probably 10 years from now. We'll actually be on cable television, and he will be talking about this, President Harry Cooper. And they did a special, and I was wondering how they would do this. How do you bring out all the facts down an official channel? They have Discovery Channel, History Channel, National Geographic Channel. Well, they're going to add another channel, the Sci-Fi Channel. Ghost Hunters International, January 6th, 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A whole hour-long episode. The official historian for the episode will be Shark Hunters President Harry Cooper. And he's not going to be talking about any supernatural information, but rather factual historical information regarding Adolf Hitler living for years after the end of the war in South America. Where was this film? Cordoba Province, South America, some type of old national hotel owned by the National Socialist where they lived once they got out of Germany. And we're going to start seeing the official facts come down official channels in very unique ways. I was wondering how they would do this, because how do you put this on the History Channel? It's interesting on the Sci-Fi Channel, because this type of show, Ghost Hunters International, has the same... similar demographics, actually. So it should be interesting to see how they do this, how they put this out there. Very unique angle. Hunting Nazi ghosts in Argentina. They've already turned over graves on Mystery Quest and everything else in South America, so this should be fascinating. I don't know whether they're going to have the ghost of Hitler present show up and say, 1488, rabbits, I'm back. I don't know where they're going with this, but a hat tip to all the undercover lovers out there in Hollywood, sitting there slugging it out year after year, decade after decade, waiting to get their chance. It's a very creative angle, because sooner or later you've got to come down official channels. Times Online releasing a thing that releasing the medical facts that the body that the Russians, the skeleton the Russian had, wasn't the correct one, so on and so forth. That's one thing. But actually pushing out as historical fact down a channel is a big event. This will be the first time it was actually on TV, and this type of what you see is what you get way. Very, very unique, very, very creative stuff. So we'll have to watch Ghost Hunters International, Sci-Fi Channel, January 6th, 9 p.m., 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. And it's going to talk about what really happened at the end. I don't know what all is going to be in there, but it's an hour-long special, and they're going to have a historian on as they go hunting ghosts. As they go hunting Nazi ghosts in South America, they're going to have an actual historian on, the historian, the one that's going to write the facts for the museums in Europe and so on and so forth. The ones that's kicked out the information, and he's going to tell us, and we'll see exactly what they say. They're not alluding to anything. It's going to be what you see is what you get, and this will be the first time. Very creative, and a hat tip to all the undercover lovers out there in Hollywood. Up to your waist, up to your shoulders in pink rabbits, and still slugging it out. Very, very creative stuff. Because eventually you got to come out with it, but I don't know. I couldn't figure out how they were going to do this. I thought maybe some kind of Nazi special weapons, and then they'd come out with it. But this is more fascinating. They're going to hunt the ghost of Hitler in Argentina. And we'll have to wait and see and watch it. There'll be several new interviews up on the website. I've done two more interviews with Truck Roy. They're going to be playing them on Stormfront, and I don't know where else, but I'll have them up on my website shortly. There are also new characters. If you go to the characters, you're going to see the Green Goddess. You're going to see the Pink Rabbits, the Red Hippos. The graphics are knockout. The graphics that my artist is doing are absolutely out of the park knockout. The t-shirts look incredible. They're not up yet because everything's not perfect. But the characters are up. They're also going to be up in a way where you can blow them up and look at them and big and see all the details. The graphics are so big and so enormous that we're going to have to fool with them to make sure everything, the website comes together fine. You know, to make sure they can fit on the website A-OK because of the size of the graphics. And that's all going to be done this week. There's also several more graphics coming out, and you'll see some of those on, apparently they're going to be selling coffee cups, which is cool. I want a Godzilla coffee cup. The Green Goddess, but I think they all look up to spec. I sat over top and made sure everything was exactly how I wanted it. And we're trying to make this one of the most unique channels in the world for any type of white information period. Anything having to do with indigenous white rabbits of Europe, we want to be talking about it. And we're linking up with several more organizations, and you'll see that all come together over the next coming months. But over the next couple weeks, into Christmas, we'll be working on the site and rolling out more graphics. There'll be more detailed graphics of these characters, more interesting stuff for you to get your little paws on, and all kinds of interesting stuff that you've asked for. And I'll put up 25 will come out shortly, and 25 is going to be back into white rabbit psychology and ecology. We're going to talk about some big news events, because we've had big news events. Most of the world has missed it, but you don't miss anything on this channel. I give it to you how I see it. And we'll have more announcements to make there as well. How about that? But stay with us here as we continue this journey. But this is 24. This is the end of of the first series of Practical Politics, or Non-Voting Politics. It's what you say when you open up your mouth. And this series all led into the Iron Question. It's the only question that a white rabbit has the luxury of asking. It's the only choice we have the luxury of making. Are you pro-white, or are you pro-white genocide? Thank you for listening.
This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.